famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub. The immediate reaction to the bracket selection show episode of the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air from behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub studios. I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country, Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is a man that I think we are going to nominate as the next chairman of the NCAA selection committee, the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
I know how to do seeds, and I know how to seed teams right.
You got my vote, buddy. I mean, anything's better than what just transpired.
And we're going to obviously get deep into the weeds with all of this. The selection show just aired within the last hour as we are recording this tonight. Of local interest, a couple of things happened. Indiana did not make the tournament. Louisville was wildly misseeded, it would appear, amongst some other notable things that happened. But we're going to get way into all that here very quickly. At the end of the show tonight, we have a couple of, unfortunately, in memoriam type things to talk about from some giants in the sports world that we've lost this week. But before we start the show tonight in earnest, quickly wanted to recap. I just got back from Las Vegas yesterday, was out there for a few days for my nephew Colin's 21st birthday. Me, Colin, and his dad all went out. Just had a tremendous time. Spent a lot of time. And let me tell you, we talked about last year. Now, last year, we as a podcast collective all went out there for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. Had a great time. I'm not sure that this wasn't, well, I am sure this was better from a ease of getting around, not having to rent tables at the spot. Like, we hung out in Caesar's Sportsbook, which is one of my favorites right there in that part of the strip, and got this, we sat together at the big cushy, like, recliner seats,
the theater seating.
For Thursday and Friday, pretty much whenever we wanted. Super easy to make bets. You're right there with, you know, you got the Caesars, Harrah's, Flamingo, the Link, all within a 10-minute walk. And then after you were done, it was a lot easier to get, you know, a good table and at a restaurant, or find a blackjack table or anything like that. We just had a great time. But I would recommend, if you've never done it before, that conference championship, because there's just as many games, if not more. And the games Thursday and Friday were just fun as hell all day long. You know, we had 4 and 5 team parlays going on all the different games, and they were all on, and it was great. But maybe the highlight of the entire trip, especially from the sports book standpoint, was finding out that dog racing is still legal.
Oh yeah, it's like 3 states, I think.
It's Colin looked it up. It's illegal in 42 of the 50 states.
There you go.
And apparently there's only one track either that's running now or that has the technology to broadcast.
It's in Alabama, isn't it?
It was in West Virginia.
Oh, well, same thing.
It was called Wheeling Island.
Oh, in Wheeling, West Virginia.
In Wheeling, West Virginia. And let me tell you, I mean, I got so much comedic material out of watching this little screen they had in the corner. And now let me go on record as saying I abhor the idea of what happens to these dogs and all this stuff, clearly from them. And I made a lot of jokes regarding that. But
when they wipe out going around the corners, that's the best.
But it was, I mean, it was the most low-rent thing I have ever seen broadcast in a, like, in a sports book. It looked like it was being broadcast. I mean, I told Colin, the great thing about it is, if you ever want to know what Vegas looked like in a sports book in 1976, this is it, because that's the quality of the broadcast. But we got a huge kick out of that. It was very funny. great time was had. And we won some basketball bets, which brings me to this, Fred. Now, Fred just celebrated a birthday, and I had told him
36.
Okay, we'll go with that. I had told Fred that when I got out there to Vegas, if he wanted to throw me some teams, I would make a $20 parlay for him and see what happened. So he threw me some teams. I used like three of the teams he gave me, and then I picked two, and I put $20 on it, and it ended up hitting to win $100.
And then he went out for a steak dinner.
So
you ain't getting that in Vegas for $10. He might have went to the In-N-Out Burger.
So I have Fred's crisp $100 bill.
Oh my gosh!
But I also have a ticket that I had done a four-leg parlay with Florida on the money line when they were playing Missouri, Duke when they played North Carolina, Houston when they played BYU, and then I picked one team against the spread to finish my four-team parlay. $50 would have paid $215. And I took Kentucky +8 against Alabama. So, in honor of your $100 win, I'd like to present you with this $100 bill and my losing ticket that says, "Thanks for nothing, cats." Travis Carter, Colin's birthday trip 2025.
Yeah, that was a beatdown, was it not? And by the way, I do want to say that it was funny because I replied back to Travis. I was like, and I noticed one team on there was Marquette, and I'm like, oh, dude, we're doing this together. We're going in together. You made some picks, da-da-da. And Travis was like, and guess what? Well, Travis picked Marquette, and by God, they won. And if we had had my picks, we would have lost. So I appreciate that very much, man. That added to my great day. Probably the best day of betting I've ever had was Friday. Maybe Thursday. Well, Thursday and Friday.
But you were
and
hot.
You added right on to it, buddy.
You were hot. I mean, you were sending us your...
as hot as tuna, apparently.
Yeah, tuna had a great day today, right?
Yesterday, I kicked the shit out of Sportsbook, man. This was... you know when you're in the zone, you just feel it?
Yep.
And you can just throw up any shot?
Yes.
I feel like I could have just made any bet and it was hitting.
I hear you.
You could just blind bet, like, and it was landing in. I could have bet lacrosse games and just want to hit on them.
I love it.
So I'm looking forward to losing every bit of it this coming up week.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing worse when you're parlay, you lose the first one.
You know, my favorite thing is, like, on DraftKings, you can pull up your stats, you know what I mean,
uh-huh.
And see how you've done.
Uh-huh.
And you usually try to avoid looking at it because you don't want to see how much you lost, but you know you've done good. And you just see that month of March. Like the discrepancy in the two towers.
Yeah.
On like what you spent and what you won. And you're like, yeah, I can keep this up. There's no doubt I can keep this up.
Yeah. The only problem for me is a lot of my teams were small schools that not a lot of your average fan hadn't heard of. And now they're all gone. There's only a couple left. So it's going to get way harder now.
I want to talk about your strategy for betting these, by the way, because I couldn't do this on the text because it's a lot, but like you sent me a sheet of paper with about 400 teams on there and they were all like long shots to win.
Well, I went through and picked a future bet on a team that I thought was good enough to win the tournament, but they had to be over plus 700 or higher.
Okay.
A couple were plus 4,500.
Let's do this math real quick.
Yes.
So if you, how many do you think you bet?
I bet 15 on the dot.
15. And I'm just going to throw $10 per bet out there because it's an easy
number.
Right,
but if it was 4,500 or over 1,000, I did five.
Uh-huh. Okay. But I'm just spitballing the 10 if
right.
you did that. So, like, if you hit one at plus 700.
Which I did.
Okay.
Only one.
Well, that
only
pays
hit one.
For half of the total amount of bets
right.
that
it
you
paid,
made.
Well, it paid 80 and I lost 75
okay.
on the bet. So I made $5
okay.
on that.
There you go.
And I was going to say that.
That's what I was
yeah,
gonna
I was going to say that at the end of the show. But what I was hoping for was to hit something that was $4,500. Because
I got several texts that said, I only got to hit one tuna.
Right.
Well, I
well,
think you had to hit
just
two.
To cover.
Okay.
Just to cover. But I thought UC Irvine was in the final, and they weren't. It was UC. It was your California
UC San
team,
Diego.
San Diego. But UC Irvine did a Riverside.
Riverside. Yeah, not Irvine.
But no, I did that because, and I did say, I think I also made a mistake.
The Anteaters.
Where I said that $4,500 was Mount St. Mary's. That's the team I won on to win the tournament. They were fourth in the conference, I think.
Yeah.
And that was SMU, was plus 4,500. So they were plus 800.
Yeah, I was
That's
about to say.
That's why I won 80.
I was about to say.
And I went through all my bets in 5, 10, 15, 20, or 5, 10, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up winning $5 total on
Hell
that.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't lose anything.
That's
didn't
it.
Didn't lose anything. And by God, I'm going to tell you right now, if Tulane would have won, or I had a couple that made the finals. I had a few of them. Yeah, Princeton was up there. I had Loyola in the
you
finals.
You had several in the finals because I had the other teams,
yeah.
and I was sweating out against you.
Yeah, Loyola was plus 1,200. So was Riverside
mm-hmm.
and St. Mary.
Did you have George Mason?
No, they were two. They were like plus 400. They weren't. They had to be.
You had that team that Bryant beat out, Maine.
I did
you?
Have Maine.
Yeah,
Maine plus 700.
Yeah,
and I had Wichita State plus.
I didn't understand the American East tournament because they would take like 3 days off in between play. They played Tuesday night in the semifinals. Didn't play again until Saturday.
Right.
At 11 a.m.
Right.
Weird.
Yeah. And, I mean, all those games were at
oh,
home courts.
Dude, I had so much fun watching, hitting on my parlays because I was a big believer in Grand Canyon and obviously
Colorado
we,
State.
We crushed Colorado State, but Grand Canyon and Utah Valley were two teams that I probably won five times on both of them throughout the season. And then they had to play each other. And I'm like, what do I do? And I took Utah Valley and I teased it to seven. I didn't tease it. I just altered the spread on a parlay to seven and it pushed. But what a great game last night to watch. Finally watch the two teams play that I've been betting on forever. And you know how that goes. I started betting on just their records. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know anything about these teams. And as I started getting hotter and hotter, I started figuring out about them and then started to look at the standings and seeing who's on a streak and who's not. And but
the problem with mid-majors and that is like records are fool's gold because of all non-conference play.
Right.
True.
And when they get in conference play, everything is, you know, that's same in the Power Fives. Like,
right.
Conference play is a different animal.
But well,
when you see a team, yeah. You know, for the second or third
no,
time.
No, you're right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'll finish with this on the betting. The one thing that I did, Tuna, that got me hot was as I went through my parlays, I would pick six teams. And I'm going not money line. I'm going spreads. I did hit some money line ones, but I went spreads, money line underdogs. But I went spreads. Once I pick my six, then I go before I hit go. I alter every spread as much as I can, high or low. You see what I'm saying? And yeah. And then I yes, my money goes down, but then I decide, well, I'm going to put 20 on this or 30. But if you don't alter those spreads, you're not going to win. Vegas is going to get
there's
you.
There's a point, though, where you're getting ripped off where you're getting, like, minus 325 on shit. You know what I'm saying? You don't. Yeah. It's not worth the squeeze on something like that.
Right.
So just don't bet the game or take it the other way or whatever. You know what I mean? But everybody has their own system, and you got your system, and that works for you.
Yeah. I'm going to try it in football next year.
There you go. So, let's get into this tournament.
Let's get into this, guys.
Let's get into this. Travis is over there watching the news. I just seen Donald Trump on his phone.
No, that was
Donald Trump. Lie. Don't lie to the audience.
No, it was.
I told you.
But look what it is. It's on a tweet that says, NCAA basketball tournament tip times have been released. I was going to try to figure out when Louisville, Louisville was playing. But, yes, somebody did have a meme or whatever, a GIF of Donald Trump going wrong. I don't know what they're saying is wrong.
I can start this off by saying, what did you like? So we're sitting there, we're all watching Selection Me. I was with a bunch of people at Shenanigans, and I mean, they do the Greg Gumbel thing, a little tearjerker, a great send off to him, memorial thing, and then bam. The overall number one seed shows up, Auburn. And everybody's like, okay, I guess this is getting ready to start. Boom, Louisville.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what the hell?
I was just starting to get situated, walking around, had it on. And then I hear Louisville, and I turn around and was like, I just got kicked in the nuts right away.
Dude.
I didn't know how to react or what.
Like you said, gut punch.
Yeah.
To find out that you're an eight seed with a fantastic record, losing to a number one seed in the tournament, in your conference final,
the lowest that I expected on this was a 7 seed. I thought like a 7 seed is a reality here, and I'm fine with that. I was even thinking like, you know, a 6 seed for sure.
I was thinking 6 all the way.
Yeah, I was like a 6 for sure, and I was like worst case a 7. And I wanted the best thing about the 6 and the 7 is you avoid the 1 seeds in the Sweet 16.
Right.
And there's in my opinion, I think there's a gap between the 1 seeds and the 2 seeds this year. It's very distinct. And the fact that they put us in an 8 seed where we're getting the number 1 overall seed, if we get past Creighton, who just played for a conference championship.
Just played for their own conference championship.
Exactly.
And they get a 9?
They get a 9.
Like, it's insane.
I don't understand. This entire South region, I'm going to just read the names of the teams in here, and you tell me a team that you don't think's very good. Auburn, we think they're good. Louisville, we think they're pretty good. Creighton, we think they're pretty good. Michigan, think they're pretty good. They just won the Big Ten, so yeah. UC San Diego won their conference, been hovering around the top 25
all year. We've talked about them.
Texas A&M, and then you got Yale just won. You know, they beat Auburn out last year, and they won the Ivy League again. Ole Miss, Chris Beard, who's played for a national championship, tough Ole Miss team. Iowa State, I know they're a little banged up right now, but that's a damn good team. Lipscomb, I'll be honest, I don't know shit about Lipscomb. I don't know the first thing about Lipscomb.
I do.
Okay.
And Lipscomb won their tournament.
Well, obviously.
And won the conference.
Yeah.
And dominated the conference. They're good.
Yeah. And then we go with Marquette, New Mexico, Michigan State, and Bryant. I don't really think there's a weak link in there. Bryant, like, don't look past them.
They won their conference.
They got screwed at a 15. They should have been higher than that, I think.
Right.
I don't know. Is what it is. You gotta play somebody, I guess.
Now, and you have kind of, we had jokingly been talking about the new metrics that they were going to use this year and stuff, but I'm curious because thanks to our friend Jimmy who texted this this little note along earlier. Let me quickly find it. So Louisville is ranked 13th in the national AP poll. And since 2012, the NCAA tournament seeding of the AP number 13 team, who was number 13 on Selection Sunday, since 2012, there have been two teams that were fives. That's Purdue in 2016 and Cincinnati in 2014. The rest of the teams were all threes and fours.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to explain to me how Clemson, a team that Louisville beat twice in a regular season, including just a couple nights ago, makes to the conference championship game, has a good showing against Duke, how they're an eight and Clemson is a five. Make that make sense. What metric did they use to move Clemson three spots on the seed line ahead of Louisville?
I'm going to tell you the metric, and it's first of all, the ACC hates Louisville's guts. So anything that they could do to screw Louisville over, I'm sure some phone calls were made. And also, the NCAA committee, when you look at all the past violations that schools have gotten and everything's completely legal now that they've all done, the one thing that's not is hookers in the dorm room. So they're still hating on Louisville for that. So they're like, let's get them again, boys, one last time. So they stuck it to us on that one. I think there's still grudges going on.
And
I can't believe they fired Kenny Payne. He was such a nice guy.
Yeah. And here's another thing, really, when you look at this bracket right here, dude, Auburn's got San Francisco's a good team that's in the play-in game. Yeah. Louisville, Creighton, Michigan just won the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. They're a five. So
check this out.
UC San Diego just won their conference. I mean, Texas A&M is a good team. Ole Miss is probably the worst team in here that I'm seeing as far as not a playing game team.
This is just me personally.
I think Marquette is an overrated seven, personally.
Ole Miss beat Auburn.
I think Ole Miss is better than Texas A&M, personally.
Okay.
That's just me.
Okay. Mm.
And I certainly think that Marquette has the team that can win. I think they're. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to win, you know, two games in the tournament, but they're not going to be an easy out.
So we're doing this little set. We're doing this section, right?
Yeah. Just real quick.
The South. So we're just going to talk about the South right now.
Yeah.
Mike Rutherford put a tweet out and said there's over a billion mock brackets on a website called Bracket Matrix, which I guess are just loaded with tons
all
of brackets,
different.
Every type of analytical thing you could have. It says a grand total of two projected Louisville to be an eight seed. twice as many projected as to be a four seed.
Yeah, so twice as that. Many.
Out of a billion. Over a billion, two of them. Adam is an eight seed.
Unbelievable. And I mean, it's going to be broken down all day tomorrow. And I don't care where you live. That if I was looking at that as a fan on the West Coast, I'm going, what the hell happened there? But, dude, here's another spin on that. So you got Auburn, the overall number one seed, and then you put the hottest eight seed you've ever seen that really should have been a six. U of Louisville in Lexington, Kentucky, if they're able to beat Creighton, then you got Auburn. So I feel like Auburn got shafted a little bit too because Louisville could beat Auburn. They have been, let's be real, Auburn has been struggling the last three games. They've lost three out of four, haven't they? Or three out of five?
Yeah. I think it was three out of four.
Three out of four. I mean, they're reeling. If there's a better time to play an overall number one seed, it's now.
And it's just tough for me to say that Louisville can beat a team. We haven't seen Louisville beat a good team except for Clemson. They're the only good team we've seen them beat, and we beat them twice. Through this tournament, I think that's the only team that we've beaten besides North Carolina, who's in the play-in game.
And I think it's going to be rowdy at Rupp. I don't see this deal where UK fans are going to be pulling against Louisville. I see it just the opposite.
Well, there. I mean, there will be a there'll be a lot of Louisville fans.
Oh, hell yeah, there will be. I mean, that's going to be but
the first tournament we've played in 6 years, dude. Louisville fans are going to storm that place.
Right. But, man, UC San Diego is the 12. Yale is the 13. You got San Diego State and North Carolina is the 11. Lipscomb is a good team. New Mexico has a good record. Bryant, I mean, that – I think the South's, and we're going to keep looking at them, but it's definitely one of the hardest regions.
Are we going to go through and make picks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We should probably get started on that because that's going to take a while.
Right. Yep. We'll do the South right now.
Let's do the South because there's three of us, so we'll have a tiebreaker in each game.
Yep.
Right. You know what I mean? And then Travis can write down the winners here.
Okay.
All right. So Auburn in their play-in game will be either – Alabama State or St. Fran. I think we're all taking Auburn there,
yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
All right. Louisville Creighton. I'm going to say Louisville. I can't pick Creighton.
I am too. Creighton has a guard out that got hurt versus St. John's. Something to mention.
Creighton has a big dude down low.
Yeah, he's good.
Ornery.
He's good.
And he's going to be really tough for us to guard with James Scott,
yeah,
who's undersized and his face is already a little banged up. I'm really concerned about that matchup, but I think that we can run them around a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get that dude in foul trouble.
I think U of L's guards on defense are going to outplay these other guards.
I think this is a really tough matchup for us. What's that guy's name? It's like some.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a big. Yeah. Klibsbeck or something. I don't know. And, you know, McDermott's a good coach. I got a lot of respect for that guy.
Right.
So this is a tough matchup.
It is a tough matchup.
For the record, I take Louisville also.
Yeah, Louisville.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, so let's go to Michigan, UC, San Diego.
Oh, man, that's a tough one for you, Tuna.
No, I'm taking the Tridents.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I have not really watch Michigan much this year, but there's something about them that slows down. I told Tuna outside, they seem to, like you, UK Bill mentioned this, they play, they're always in the game with a team. It's always like 2 or 4 points difference. Look what they did to Wisconsin today. Like you said, held them to 23 or 26 at halftime. I just see Michigan winning that game, coming off a hot Big Ten tournament win, a championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not picking against Dusty. I got Michigan.
Yeah.
So Tuna is the dissenting voice. Take note.
Yes.
All right, Texas A&M and Yale.
This is another tough one for Tuna. Can Yale pull the upset off 2 years in a row?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Buzz Williams is going to take the nerds out this time. Honestly, I had a future on Yale to win the Ivy, so I was sweating out a bunch of Ivy League games.
Right.
They're not that good.
No.
The thing is, they've blown more leads than I've seen any team. Like, big leads, like 20-plus point leads.
Right.
And then they don't know what to do at the end, and I think they get lucky. And I don't even think the coach understands clock management. It makes no sense.
And they did win their championship, right? Today they played.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I bet them and did cover. But yeah, I'm with you.
The end of the game against Princeton showed that neither coach understood the rules of basketball.
Right.
So,
and I don't think A&M's that great, but I'm going to take them there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 100% with you, Fred.
I mean, A&M a 4 seed? Really?
I am taking Texas A&M, although I don't trust them at all, but I do think they'll win that game.
All right, and we've got Ole Miss versus either North Carolina or San Diego State. Obviously, I think we're all going to pick San Diego State to go into play. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, San Diego State versus Ole Miss, and I'm going to take Ole Miss.
Fred?
I'm pulling an upset here. You know I've liked San Diego State, and I think North Carolina. I know they haven't been playing that great, but hell, they damn near beat Duke. They did come back and had a chance to win if they didn't have a lane violation. I like one of the two teams. Do you want me to pick one of the two teams? But I think one of those two teams is going to beat Ole Miss.
Okay. So we just kind of all agreed that San Diego State was going to move past.
Oh, okay,
North Carolina.
San Diego State.
So it's Ole Miss or San Diego State. So you're saying San Diego State, and I'm saying Ole Miss.
Yeah,
I'm taking Ole Miss. I'm taking Chris Beard. Fred is the dissenting voice there, but officially we have Ole Miss next. Tuna,
Iowa State and Lipscomb. Like I've said, Iowa State's a little banged up, and I'm not sure that they're going to recover from this. I don't know much about Lipscomb, but Fred seems to be big on them.
Well, they're a good team. I don't know if they can beat Iowa State,
though. I'm going to pull the upset here on that one.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, good Lord.
Look, I rode Iowa State all last year.
They're really
not
playing good right now.
They just got shut down. And right now they're banged up, and they're struggling right now. They're a different team than they were a month and a half ago.
I'll go with you there, Tuna.
All right, Lipscomb it is.
I was gonna break the tie with Lipscomb if there was a tie, so let's take them.
All right, the Fighting Lipscombs move on. I don't even know their mascot.
Now, they are beating teams like Bellarmine. They're beating teams like Austin Peay.
So let's go to Marquette, New Mexico. I can't pick Shaka Smart to win a tournament game because since he left VCU, it's been awful. Anytime tournament basketball has happened. So I'm out on Marquette, and give me little Ricky to advance with New Mexico. Los Lobos.
Well, I think New Mexico is a good team, and I know that Marquette has not done well in the tournament lately, as you said. I don't think it matters because they're going to get beat by Michigan State in the next round anyways, so I'm going to go with Marquette on this one.
I'm taking New Mexico.
Okay, good, because I kind of wanted to change my mind.
Then we got Tom Izzo and Sparty versus Bryant.
And let's just say Bryant is a good team, but I don't think they're going to be able to handle Michigan. This Michigan State team is better than most.
Izzo in March is always a tough draw.
Right.
Yep, I'm with you.
Especially when he's on all cylinders. I do think Sparty does better when they're not a high-ranked team, unless they have Mateen Cleaves and company. But you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes he doesn't do as well when he is a higher seed.
So do we pick the next game, since that'll be happening before?
If you guys want to.
Let's knock those out quick.
Okay. So what are we looking at? Auburn and Louisville.
And Louisville.
I'm going to let you two guys go, and I'll be the deciding voice on this one.
I'm going Louisville.
Oh, shit.
The hell with this.
I think Auburn's got too much firepower. I hate it. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm taking Auburn. I'm going to leave it up to Tuna, as it should be. Mm. I'm going to leave it up to you.
Yeah, I can't pick Louisville to beat Auburn. I think we can give them hell and scare the hell out of them.
I do too.
And
I think every TV in the nation will be tuned on us for at least a 5-minute stretch. But I just don't think that we have the horses to pull this one off, man.
Broome is a bad matchup. I don't know who in the paint is gonna, unless Kels puts a game plan together. Stopping the National Player of the Year is not going to be easy.
Yeah. So Auburn advances, and then our next matchup would be Michigan and Texas A&M. Yep. I'm taking A&M on that one because I didn't even have Michigan winning the first game.
Well, I gotcha. I don't like either one of these teams. I freaking hate both of them. Travis, pick for me.
I can't pick for you. You got to pick. You got to pick. I'm breaking the tie here.
I'm going to go with Michigan on this one. I hate to say. They really showed me something today by watching them.
I could see a little Buzz Williams in you. If you had like a five-piece suit. If you had like a five-piece suit, I could
see it. I'll wear a vest right now, dude. I'll put that vest on and the buttons are like extra tight.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know where I'm going here. I'm taking Dusty again. I'm taking Michigan.
We're going to have to team up to get Dusty out of this tournament.
I think that's But I just saying, Michigan, those are two tough games for them. San Diego is no joke.
Next.
Then we go to Ole Miss and Lipscomb. Do we keep the Cinderella story alive? I'm going to go with Lipscomb. Screw it.
I didn't have Ole Miss winning in the first place. So well, I'm
Lipscomb's
in that same...
going to the Sweet 16.
And I love that pick. Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. And then what is it? Marquette or New Mexico? Who'd we go with?
New Mexico All or right. Michigan State?
Lobos and Izzo. I'm taking Izzo.
Yeah, Izzo for Shizzo.
Me too.
Yep. All right. So let's move to – let's just go down the line to the West.
Yep.
All right. Florida and Norfolk State. Gators all day. That's not even worth talking about.
Right. Not worth talking about. I do want to give Norfolk State a shout-out because that's one of my betting teams, and they won their – conference championship and played very well. And they are a conference championship winning team.
And let's not just glance over how well Florida is playing now. Like, I think they're playing the best basketball.
They could be the number one. They really should be the number one overall seed.
I think they're playing the best basketball of anybody in the country. And that's not any sort of great leap of faith.
No,
I mean,
No.
I think a lot of people that watch basketball would agree that
they are
playing
fluid.
Dynamite.
They are one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. They get so many offensive second chance points.
I said it on here a couple weeks ago that John Fanta said, give me Auburn and Duke versus the field. I'll say this right now. Give me Florida and Houston versus the field.
Yep.
That's where I'm at with
All
that.
Right. Yeah. Love it.
I'm Florida, Michigan State.
All right. So next. UConn and Oklahoma. As much as I dislike Danny Hurley, the guy's got tournament experience. He's got some guys on his team who have played in tournament. I love Jeremiah Fears, but I think UConn's going to move through in this one.
Man, this is a tough one because I've watched Oklahoma so tight. Mm-hmm. And I just want to punch Fears in the mouth sometimes, but he's so freaking good. And a couple of them big guys for Oklahoma, the big guy that was always roommate is a hell of a player as well. Man, UConn has not played well. They've just been flat. I'm going Oklahoma on this one, man.
Travis
with
the tiebreaker.
SEC.
I'm with Tuna. I don't think Hurley loses the first game in this tournament. He's the
best coach around. He said it before.
Yeah, I just don't think he lets that happen. So UConn move, but I do not feel particularly strongly one way or the other. But I lean towards UConn in that game.
And Tuna, I have four future bets so far.
Imagine
Florida,
that.
Michigan State, Kentucky, of course, and UConn.
All right, we're moving on to Memphis and Colorado State. Give me the Rams, ramming it all day.
Ooh, this is going to be a fun game.
Ram it all day.
We know how Colorado State is. I'm on them. You know, everyone knows that me and Tuna and Travis have been big Colorado. Y'all know I've been a big Colorado State guy, and I got everyone with me.
I'm with you.
All right. Love it.
They are hot.
And Rams,
dude,
move on.
And here's what bums me out about Memphis being a five. If Memphis was anywhere else, I would have them winning their first round game because I think they are very good in the tournament. They have been. They've made it to the last two Sweet 16s, dude, Memphis. Yeah. And they made a final. Remember, Travis, we had them in that pick'em thing. They are a really good tournament team.
Well, they'll be singing the Delta Blues this year. But so Colorado we're going to move on to Maryland and Grand Canyon.
Whoa.
This is a matchup. This is the big one. Like, I want to go with the Antelopes here, but I think the Crab Five are going to move on. I like this Maryland team.
God, this is going
like
to be a
Kevin
fun
Willard.
Game.
This is going to be a shock for Grand Canyon.
You know, I already have my Grand Canyon t-shirt coming in the mail because I'm a Grand Canyon West Coast guy.
I think you can enroll online for like
$80. I've won many bets with them. Had to take Utah Valley and the points against them last night. Let's go Maryland, dude. They're one of those sexy picks in this tournament. Great freshman, Derek Queen, freshman All-American.
All right.
Let it be known I was going to take Grand Canyon.
Okay.
Just for the record.
Okay. No slouch. Grand Canyon put 90 points on the board.
Yep. All right. Missouri versus the Drake.
I hate the Drake.
I love the Drake. I'm taking the Drake. Who, by the way, could be IU's next coach. Something to watch in this one.
Okay. Missouri being – this is U of L's seed right here. This is where U of L should have been at.
I didn't want to play the Drake.
And I think you all would crush the Drake, and I think Missouri's going to beat the Drake.
I'm taking Missouri.
All right. Missouri moves on. On to the Red Raiders of Texas Tech versus
NC Wilmington.
Love it. You talk about the beach versus the beach of West Texas.
Versus Lubbock.
And I know UNC Wilmington was the favorite in their tournament, and they were one of the better teams in the conference. I'm not sure if they won it or not.
What? Who? UNC Wilmington won the conference.
They did win the conference.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been in this tournament.
Duh.
They weren't going to be.
I don't think that's a two-bid league. Yeah.
But, no, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. Wilmington is a good team. Mm-hmm. They are. They really are. But Texas Tech.
That was the Big South, I believe, tournament.
I believe that is correct.
That was a fun tournament.
Texas Tech's got your boy.
To me, Texas Tech.
Toppin, who is really good. I think Texas Tech is a tough defensive team too.
I've got Tech as well.
Tech. Okay. All right. Now we get to some meat and potatoes here. We got Bill Self and the Fighting Jayhawks versus Kenny Payne and Calipari with the Slobbering Hogs.
But two struggling teams with some injuries. I'm taking Kansas all day, and I know they have played horrible lately. But they have Hunter Dickinson. They have the point guard. Yeah. They've got all those players that have done well and made it far in these tournaments the last 2 years. And I just think that their light bulbs are going to come on, and they're going against a coach that can't win in the first round. What else would I do?
Yeah, as much as I would love to see the Arkansas-St. John's matchup in the next round, I just with Aduthiero being out and – that's just too much for them to lose.
Right.
Kansas is going to move on in this one. So
I agree.
We're taking Kansas. Yeah. And then St. John's, Omaha. Sorry, Peyton Manning, but I think
Omaha.
St. John's is going to take this one.
Don't forget, Omaha. Yeah. Also came in
But what I'm looking forward to in this one more than anything is here in the next couple of days, Rick Pitino talking about how Omaha is probably the best team in college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite thing. Rick, we're going to get Rick Pitino at his best.
Oh, they're great on the
week.
Press. Their press is fantastic.
Yeah, this is probably one of the most talented teams that we'll play all year. I know that's coming. All right.
St. John's may be one of the hottest teams in the country as well.
Yeah. So we're going to go to Florida and UConn. I think we're taking Florida here across the board.
This is going to be a fun game, but yes.
I think Florida will blow them out, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And then Colorado State and Maryland.
Yes.
I'm going to take Colorado State to keep staying hot in this one.
I am too.
I think depth is going to get Maryland like it did in the Big Ten tournament. When you play that many games that close to time, your legs start to go.
And coach.
We're all in agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he's a great tournament coach or not anyways.
And then, Travis, you went with Missouri, right? The Drake got screwed?
Yep.
All right. Missouri and Texas Tech. I'm taking Texas Tech. Yeah, me too. I think we're going to be easy. Then we got Kansas and St. John's. St. John's for me.
Yeah, me too.
I think St. John's rolls.
I do too. All right.
Well, that was an easy division.
And now we get to what is the easiest division there is out there, which could cause some upsets. The East.
The East is the wait a minute. And Duke's number one here in Raleigh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, big shocker there, the easiest
So it'll be Duke versus either American or Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Duke. Yeah, I mean, it's,
yeah, Duke's got Knipple's on fire right now. His mom is hot, by the way. She looks like Bo Derek.
That plays into
so
this.
Hopefully they will show her a lot. But yes,
that'd be the only reason to watch that game.
And I do think Knipple is one of the most and the Nigerian are two of the most underrated players in the country. That Nigerian for Duke right now is a madman on defense out there. I'm
he's very long.
Billis.
Yeah.
Billis Strader.
All right. Mississippi State, Baylor. Chris Jans versus Scott Drew. I kind of like this coaching matchup. I'm going to go with the Bulldogs here to win this one. I like Chris Jans. I think he's going to yank the teeth out and hang on to this one. Baylor's just struggled this year.
Yeah. Both these teams are not good.
This is an 8-9 game I would like to be in.
Right.
If you were going to make Louisville an 8, give me that one.
Baylor has a couple McDonald's All-Americans that are going to get drafted, but they're not a good team, and they're not playing well. And for that matter, neither is Mississippi State. I think they're overrated. I don't like either one of them. Duke's going to crush them, so I'll take Mississippi State because of the SEC, because they've been battling better teams in the SEC.
Yeah, I have no real feeling on it, but I'll go with you guys on that one.
All right, Oregon and Liberty. This is going to be a tough one for Travis. So,
and I want to say something right here first, Tuna. Oregon being a number 5 is an absolute joke. Someone explain to me why Oregon and Memphis are number 5 seeds. And for that matter, Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
I can't explain any of these seedings. I'm looking forward to
this. I'm sorry, Arizona's a 4.
Yeah. Well,
I know who I'm taking in this one easily.
Yeah, Oregon is definitely for me over Liberty.
Oh, I'm taking dude.
Right. Well, Oregon's going to advance because it's against Travis to pick Liberty.
I understand that, and I know he's going to trump me, but I'm going to tell you right now, Liberty's going to win this game. They are a seasoned, damn good, well-coached team.
Was it Conference USA that they won?
This will be another proof that God is real moment. And
wasn't the ceiling leaking in this game?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm surprised the building didn't get struck by lightning. Oregon. Sorry,
over
Fred.
The fighting Falwells are out of the game. Yeah,
sorry.
They got some players.
Well, we can revisit it if they make the Sweet 16.
And thank you, Liberty. I've won with you 4 times this year as well.
All right, this is one. This is an upset special that I love.
Me too.
Arizona Wildcats versus the Zips from Akron.
And Akron
Give me the Zips.
Damn good
Yeah,
team.
That's a really good basketball
really
team.
Really good. Well,
only thing that worries me is it's everybody's pick.
You might be right.
Talked about it about Akron. We had talked about them. I watched a couple of their games when I was out in Vegas. Like really watched them play, and they're a fun team to watch, and they are good. I think they will win as well, but it worries me that everybody is picking that game.
I just want to see Tommy Lloyd do something in the tournament, and their team is Caleb Love. He has a bad game. They have a bad game. That's like he is.
Who did they beat? Who did they beat to make the final?
Texas Tech.
They beat Texas Tech. Wait a minute.
They played Houston in a tough game.
They lost to Houston.
It was actually a really tough game.
It was a tough game because
Their big man either.
I covered with Houston on that. Right. Is he going to play?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, dude.
Even if he doesn't in his first Brown, you know what I mean?
Arizona doesn't impress me, and quite frankly, them being a 4 seed might be the biggest joke in the tournament, except for Louisville being an 8.
Yeah.
I just don't get how they are. I wish my bracket had the records, because there's like 3 or 4 teams that are like 23-11 that are like 4 seeds.
Yeah. All right, BYU and VCU.
Another tough game, dude.
Yeah, I'm not overly – everybody's big on VCU. I had a future on them to win that conference tournament, and it was like watching them was frustrating as hell. They really have one dude that can score, and it's just – they turn the ball over.
They do turn it over.
So much. I'm taking BYU. They're fundamental, and they're nasty.
Right,
they get after you, man.
This is going to be a game that
BYU's a tough team, dude.
There's no way I'm going to miss this game. I want to watch this game. And I am taking BYU as well. Yeah, I'm even not... though I respect VCU.
Same.
All right. Bucky the Badgers versus the Grizzlies from Montana. I'm taking Wisconsin.
I am too. They're playing so good. I've bet on Montana. I mean, it's kind of so fun, so much fun for me this year because I bet all these teams that end up winning their, and I kind of know things about them. But yes, dude, Wisconsin. What's the coach for Wisconsin's name?
Greg Gard.
He's doing a hell of a job there. And who's the player? What's the kid? Salute.
Tanjay.
He's freaking great.
One of the best point guards in college basketball.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that Louisville would get a six and then Wisconsin would be our three so we could kind of see that Wisconsin-Louisville Chucky-Hepburn matchup.
Yeah, and but, I thought they made to go there.
Well, he got cheated out of that one. All right. Now, St. Mary's and Vandy. I don't know what to do here.
I do.
I'm taking St. Mary's.
Yeah, sorry, Travis, but I am too.
Under protest, I will accept it. Although, if I had to bet this, who's going to win straight up, I would be leaning towards St. Mary's. But I hope like hell Vanderbilt wins.
Right, it's going to be a fun game, dude. And we've been talking about St. Mary's the last three shows.
But that was one of the seeding issues was that a lot of bracketologists had Vandy as one of the last four in or whatever, and they got a 10, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And then I saw who they were playing, and I was like, that's. Maybe not ideal because I'm not sure that's a great matchup for them, but I hope they win. But officially, we take St. Mary's to move on. Sorry, Joe.
All right. We got Roll Tide versus Robert Morris. Bama.
Yeah.
There's really nothing to say.
No, there's nothing to say. Robert Morris is a very good good team, and Bama is the best offensive team in the country.
Yeah, Bama.
Yep, that's it.
All right, and then Duke versus we went with Mississippi State.
Duke.
All right.
Next.
Oregon versus Akron.
I'm going Akron.
Yeah. I am too.
Three for three.
All right, go Zips.
Because I think Akron will play Liberty.
So right now we've got Lipscomb and the Zips in our Sweet 16.
I love it.
All right, BYU and Wisconsin.
Oh, man, what a matchup this will be.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cougs.
God,
Give me the Mormons.
Here's the way I'm looking at this, and this is how I do my brackets. If I think BYU could be beat by VCU, then I think Wisconsin has an easier road. So I'm going to take Wisconsin. This, even though I love BYU, I just think that it could be VCU playing Wisconsin.
I'm taking Brigham Young.
Attaboy.
There you go.
All right. Then we've got St. Mary's versus Bama. Bama.
Alabama. Even St. Mary's has one of the best point guards in the country. He can't touch Sears. Period.
That's three for three.
All right. On to the Midwest. So this one's a tough one to start out because you have Houston versus Travis's favorite school, Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville.
Can I say something about the Midwest before we go start our first pick?
Absolutely.
I think it might be the easiest.
Yeah.
The whole right side is the easiest, but the Midwest, as we go through here, we may find out that this is the easiest.
I agree. I completely agree with you. So we're taking Houston.
And who are they playing?
Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville.
Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't even know that was a something.
And you're telling me that, and I just want to say, and then you've got Auburn, the number one seed playing possibly a tough that was ranked in the top 25 San Francisco team.
No, San Diego State.
Right.
Or North Carolina. No San Francisco.
No, I got Auburn playing Alabama State or San Francisco.
Oh, St. Francis of Pennsylvania.
Oh, is that St. Francis?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was San Francisco.
No, it's either Alabama State or St. Francis of Pennsylvania.
Shit, well, that makes it, that's
yeah,
a
I
lot
don't
different.
I think they would have put San Francisco.
Well, I thought they may have made it because they were in the top 25 for a while.
That's your NIT champion if you want to make a bet on anything.
Okay, all right. All right, sorry for the miscue there.
Yeah,
keep
so
going.
Houston's going to roll. We all agreement. Yeah.
Woo, tough matchup here.
Gonzaga and Georgia.
Man, this is going to be a tough game because Georgia has looked good sometimes.
This is a coin toss, in my opinion. I'm going to take Georgia just because I've seen them play tougher teams and look good. Gonzaga, I don't – Yeah,
they won their conference. Remember, I was giving Gonzaga props, but no one
seems
to. They've
actually been playing pretty good.
They have.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia.
Can you imagine this Georgia-Houston matchup? That'll be a physical beatdown.
I think Houston will pull their pants down. Yeah.
I don't think Mike White can get it done. I'm going with the experience and Mark Few.
I'm 100% with you, Freddie.
Yeah, it's probably
I'm 100% with you. No way Gonzaga loses this game. That may be one of the, like, my heavy bets of the first
game.
I was just about to say,
I would never put a dollar on that
I'm surprised Georgia made the tournament, quite frankly.
All right. This is another upset that I think everybody has been calling.
Yeah,
McNeese versus Clemson.
Is this Will Wade?
This is Will Wade.
Will Wade, yeah.
I'm actually going to take Clemson in this. I think they are way too physical for McNeese.
I agree.
If
I'm
McNeese was playing a team with what's the word I'm looking for? Just a little bit more touch and a little bit of anyway, they're just way too physical for McNeese.
With you.
So Clemson it is.
I'm going to tell you about a team right here that's good.
High Point.
High Point.
I've got them beating Purdue.
I do, too.
Okay. I like High Point. I really do.
I do, too. They're really good. Mm-hmm. They almost was ranked this year. They almost broke into the top 25.
They did.
Purdue has just not been playing well, in my opinion. One thing I do want to say, and Travis will agree with me on this, is Purdue's coach does exceptionally well in the tournament. He really does well. Even if he doesn't have some of the big horses like he's had lately, there he is in the Sweet 16 or winning first game.
But, I mean, to be fair, and I do follow Purdue more closely than a lot of people, I mean, they have lost a few. Like, they lost, they were 15, lost to a 2, or they were a 2, lost to a 15. Mm-hmm. Just a few years ago.
They did. No,
last year they went
that.
To the championship game.
But they made the championship game last year, and they've had some good runs.
No, was it 2 years ago they made the championship game?
Because
last year was Alabama and UConn, right? The year before that was UConn and Purdue.
No, 1 year, wasn't it? It was UConn and didn't UConn play San Diego, whatever, whoever beat Dusty in the Final Four?
Shit, I don't know. Yeah,
San Diego State or whoever that was. But anyway that's 2 votes for High Point. High Point it is.
All right. Illinois and either Texas or Xavier. I think both Texas and Xavier are trash. Neither of those teams deserve to be at a play-in game here.
Right.
So I have to take Illinois to move on.
I got Illinois.
100%.
All right, Kentucky and Troy.
I think Troy's one of the worst small schools on this whole bracket.
Well,
I couldn't believe Kentucky got them.
Usually the guy that works on my truck, his name's Troy, so I'm going with Troy.
Well, I'm going with Kentucky.
Well, okay.
I'll take UK.
Hope you don't need your oil changed.
Kentucky moves on.
And then we got UCLA and Utah State. Utah State, give me the Aggies all day long. UCLA, I just don't see it. Mick Cronin, I feel like he's given up. He wants out of UCLA. Nobody will buy him out of UCLA, so he's just out there like in purgatory.
Yeah, UCLA has some good players and has won a few games, but I think Utah State
wants it more.
Yeah. They go on.
All right, Tennessee and Wofford. I like this Wofford team. But Tennessee is too good for them. So Rocky Top moves on.
Fred?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Same.
Okay, so we have Houston and Gonzaga. Cougars.
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 Too much muscle, too much intensity.
100%.
Right. Clemson versus High Point. Clemson.
Yeah.
I hate it. It drives me nuts doing it.
Yeah, but I think they would beat Purdue if we had Purdue.
This is so, such an easy little section.
It is. So easy.
All right. And then Illinois and Troy.
all right, Tuna. Now comes the part of the show that you got to show Kentucky some respect.
Okay.
After we've sucked off Louisville for getting a bad seed. Kentucky did
like
look bad. They did look bad against Alabama, let's be real, but Alabama is a different monster. This team, I'm going to have to really dig and find out some information about Illinois. I hope they all get sick again. But I am going with Kentucky here. I think if Butler plays, I just think Pope's going to have us rolling. It looks like we got a couple easy, a fairly easy bracket here. If we can get through that game, I think we can get some action going.
Yeah, I don't think Butler's going to play. I mean, I know people are saying that, but a torn labrum is a torn labrum. I don't know. Maybe he can just be a body out there. I just can't see a guy being, effective like that. The thing is, I've seen Kentucky win. They've won at Knoxville without Butler or Robinson.
Right.
They're taking this exact same team into the tournament like that. Let's see if these two Kentucky boys can run it a little bit. I think Mark Pope is going to outcoach. What's the guy at Illinois? I'm blanking his name. Anyway.
Brad Underwood.
Really think that Mark Pope is he's probably one of the best coaches in college basketball. And you can see it with how he's dealing with that team right now. I'm going to take Kentucky to move on past Illinois.
There we go.
And Utah State, Tennessee. Boy, that's going to be a strange game. What's your take on that, Tuna? Tennessee's a pretty damn good defensive team, and they've got good guards. You think they can out-three them, Utah State?
I think this is where Rick Barnes does Rick Barnes stuff, and I think this could be the first real shocker of the tournament.
Okay.
So this is probably the first high seed to get knocked out.
Okay, and I'm thinking, I don't think you could be, you're not 100 wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen. I just think Tennessee, they went far last year to at least the Elite Eight, I think, or maybe the Final Four. I think they made the Elite Eight. No, they made the Final Four, I think. I just see them being too strong. I see them going through.
I hate it, but I'm taking Tennessee.
Yeah.
All right. There's that. Now, next week, we can come in here and talk about all the games we missed.
Yes, we can. And God dang it. Like, I can't wait to get on some of these, like the show that's on ESPN and find out some of the details of some of these rankings that are just.
Oh, shit.
It's crazy.
So I
Louisville 12-15 on Thursday. First damn game out of the gate.
Like, really?
That's so stupid. Mm. So stupid.
Is that because they were the
put them on at night
at the top?
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Why would you have a matchup like that the first game of the freaking
probably tournament? Because it's going to be the best. It's probably the best game if I had to. They're going to put one good game in that window.
It's the CBS 12-15 game.
Yeah. That's a shame because from a selfish standpoint, I wanted that game to be like whatever it is, 7:30 or whatever on Thursday night, prime time, have all day to hang out, break it down, talk about it. Now you're like eating your lunch and watching it. Like, it's not, to me, not the same.
No,
but
that sucks. That sucks. Last time I remember Louisville playing the first game of the tournament, we were a 4 seed, and we played Morehead State.
Okay.
Morehead State.
Oh, I
was
remember
a 13
that.
Seed.
Yep,
it was on St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
Kenneth Fareed was
yep.
playing for them, and they beat us.
Yep, I remember that.
Yep. And Kentucky tipped off at 12:45 that day, and they won, beat Princeton, I believe, on a last-second
tip-in.
Yep.
Yeah. God dang it.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, that sucks. Guess who's not going to work Thursday?
Right.
Yeah.
So that
looks like we'll be having. I'm gonna have lunch at the pub.
I did happen while we were talking about that. I was scrolling through some social media stuff, and apparently, and Tuna, you had mentioned this outside before we recorded how some of these coaches were kind of intimating that, hey, our stud that's been injured all year, we think he's going to come back and play this week to try to get in the committee's attention. Apparently the committee came out and said that West Virginia didn't make the tournament because their stud player isn't going to play in the tournament.
DeVries?
Yeah.
He's been out all year.
That's what I was just getting. Dude, I was just getting ready. They said that, but 4 of the 6 quad one wins that West Virginia has have taken place with him not in the lineup. And so that is, to me, just, I mean, it's almost so ridiculous. Like, it's transparently ridiculous. But apparently they came out and said, like, a guy on the committee said that on television. We have not been able to see that because we've been recording, but is that not insanity?
Wow. Yeah, I don't like that. Something's got to be done. We've got to strip this committee and build it from the ground up.
Dang.
Well, and
I want, like, some clear directives on what they're going off of. That way we can kind of get an idea, and we're not just leaving it to some dudes in a room to just, you know, move the goalpost wherever they want and whenever they want.
Right, and that's what they do. Like Clark or somebody will go, well, this year they decided strength of schedule was more important. I'm like,
right.
Why this year? Just keep it the same.
And give us something for strength of schedule. Like, when you're making these schedules, like, that way the athletic directors have, like, an idea of what to look for, you know?
Right.
I would assume that you know, Indiana was one of the teams that they were talking about maybe making it in on the play-in game, and that they're like, by most metrics, they were ahead of Xavier and North Carolina. But I'm wondering if maybe the fact that Indiana scheduled so poorly in the non-conference and, you know, didn't have any, I mean, they played Louisville and Gonzaga. They got killed in both those games. But the rest of their pre-league, pre-conference schedule was not very good. I wonder if they didn't really weigh that. But North Carolina also had a quad three loss and only one quad one win. Indiana had 4 quad one wins and no loss outside of quad one. So that clearly was not the main metric they were using this season, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you got me thinking with the injuries with West Virginia and DeVries, that could be why Louisville got an 8, because right there in the Bahamas, we lost Corin Johnson and Kaysen Pryor. And, like, yeah, we've competed our entire season without them, but if they're holding the DeVries stuff, because he got hurt right after the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like the next game back from the Bahamas.
Yeah, he's been out. I mean, as I think of it, I don't even know if he played a league game.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I mean, that's crazy.
No, he didn't play a league game.
Yeah,
that's a fact. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're going to be ridiculous, I guess be transparently ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean,
you know?
Good for it, I guess. I don't know.
But I am really interested to hear them pretzel logic themselves about getting North Carolina in, especially. But Xavier, well,
remember,
I'm not
they
sure.
already said that he left the room. The chairman who went to North Carolina, he had to leave the room.
Yeah, right.
I'm not even. I mean, I don't know whose resume is worse between them and Xavier to get in over
even Texas, man.
Yeah,
Texas.
Like,
yeah.
Did we really need the 14th SEC school in there? Like,
yeah, I don't think we did.
No,
no.
We didn't.
No.
Texas brings nothing to this tournament.
They bring nothing. And I also don't want listeners to think that I'm being, like, bitter because Indiana didn't get in, because I think Indiana had 10 chances to get in this tournament over the last 3 weeks, and they pretty much failed almost all of them.
You put IU on a court against Texas or Xavier, and I'm taking the Hoosiers all day.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not, like, gnashing my teeth because Indiana didn't get in. If it was another team that had Indiana's exact resume and they were another team, I would think that they deserve to get in over certainly Xavier, North Carolina, possibly Texas. And it's not just because they're Indiana is what I'm getting at.
I mean, I don't even think Arkansas should have gotten in.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to tell me a Duthiero's hurt, like, I mean, keep them out. How does that – I mean, he's been hurt more recently.
Right, you know? Right.
Like, they wouldn't have won as many games without him.
No way.
It's a double standard. I don't know. I don't like this. But anyway, we can complain about it all day. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's It's all over but the crying now, but that's part of the fun of it. For the next 2, 3, 4 days, we can all complain and whine and, try to figure out what they were thinking. But I'm with you, Tuna. I do wish that there was a particular criteria set that they would come out with and say, all right, it's 20% this, it's 20%. Yeah. It's not just that Joe over there, the assistant AD at Tarleton State, saw North Carolina play one game this year and thought they looked pretty good, and he got a vote.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that all of America is just sitting outside, like, wonder how they're going to pick this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at least college football, it's chaos, but we do have some sort of an idea of what goes into their – you know, process.
Sure.
With college basketball, we have no idea. And for whatever reason, and I know Freddie hates this guy, but I don't know how he stays employed. Joey Brackett's everything, nothing he puts out is even close to being accurate.
No.
Ever.
Right.
Any season.
And he even earlier tonight said that he didn't know what criteria they were going to go with.
Yeah. Well, so basically he's been making money all year without having a damn clue. He's just been picking what he thinks are good teams.
That's what I told Tuna before we came down to broadcast tonight, was that, and I know that obviously bracketology is not infallible and that they're never exactly right or whatever, but it seemed to me that this year there were more, not just teams that made it versus not made it, but the seeding was so wildly different than what almost everybody thought I think that those guys who get paid to ostensibly know how to pick these things, they have no idea how they're picking these things.
I could look at some of this and be like, well, okay, so conference tournaments doesn't matter. And then I look at the other side of the bracket and I'm like, well, I guess conference tournaments does matter, because how did Arizona get a 4 seed?
Right.
And then
right.
I don't know. But none of it makes sense to me. It is what it is. I don't think it makes sense to anybody. I'm not alone there. So whatever.
No. Well, that's pretty much our instant reaction to the brackets being revealed tonight and our picks of the first two rounds. Always will be interesting to see how we do going forward on that. And I know we have a few things we want to get to here at the end of the show. Unless you guys have something else you really wanted to get to before, I'm going to go ahead and call last call. And we'll send it around the bar here, and we have a few things planned that we want to talk about. But if you have anything else that we haven't discussed. This is your time. Tuna, go.
If you will be awake at 6 a.m. on Tuesday and 6 a.m. on Wednesday, you get to watch baseball that actually matters. The Dodgers will be playing in Japan against the Cubs for two games that actually count toward their 162-game season.
Are they playing in, like, the Tokyo Dome or something?
Something like that. They've been running around Japan all weekend. They actually played some teams, some Japanese teams over there this week.
That's awesome, really.
Yeah. You know, Yamamoto's getting the first start. Which I think is going to be
right,
great.
Yeah.
Roki Sasaki will probably get the second start.
I heard Mookie sitting this one out. He's got an illness.
Yeah, well.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. There's a lot of stuff going on with Mookie, always getting sick for whatever reason. But anyway, he'll be back, I'm excited to watch actual baseball that's not spring training.
Heck yeah.
Hell yeah, so, dude. That's going to be awesome.
Ramp it up.
Yep. All right, Fred.
Oh, just wanted to say that American Promise won the Virginia Derby. Dwayne Lucas. We had Render Judgment second, and Getaway Car that was in my top five was third. So he passed some fast horses. It was the most people ever at this track since the Arlington Million, because Baffert was there. I also wanted to throw in that this is pretty neat thing about this horse. He is the brother or the son of Justify. And
right.
Not only did Justify's son set the track record, but he also ran the fastest 9-furlong Derby prep ever, breaking Althea's in the Arkansas Derby. So take note of that for what it's worth. American Promise is moving up the board quickly. We got the Louisiana Derby, the Jeff Ruby Stakes, and we got the Louisiana Derby coming up. Louisiana Derby has a few good horses. John Hancock is running in that. Built, Tiztastic, and a buzz horse that JT's been really liking, Caldera. So keep an eye on that. I'm going with Built in this one and Caldera. So, but that's two preps. Louisiana Derby's always a fun one. So that'll be Saturday. And that is it on mine.
All right. So the first thing I wanted to talk about tonight, we lost really two super important people in the world of sports in the last week. One of particular local interest to Louisville, that being the great Junior Bridgman, who not only was an incredible basketball player here at the University of Louisville for Coach Denny Crum, a longtime player in the NBA, notably for the Milwaukee Bucks. Kind of a neat thing. I mean, a lot of people around here know this, but maybe not a lot of people know that he was part of the trade that sent Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the Lakers, and Bridgman ended up with the Bucks, and Bridgman goes on to have a career that ends up with his number being put in the rafters
right. In
Milwaukee, and Kareem, of course, is Kareem. He unfortunately passed away last week. I believe he was 71 years old. And of particular note to Louisville, not just the fact that he was a tremendous basketball player here, but after his playing career, he became one of the most successful former athletes, businessmen, especially of the era that he did it. And he didn't do it by getting $100 million from Nike to make commercials.
Right.
He got it by being a brilliant businessman and understanding, like, he could franchise all. He owned tons of Wendy's and things like that. He opened a couple Coca-Cola bottling companies. He was on the board of
everything.
A thousand things here. Part owner of Valhalla Golf Club.
Yeah.
Had just recently bought in to be a part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks NBA franchise. Had recently been officially anointed, if that's the correct term, a billionaire.
On Forbes list, yep. Yes.
And it's a real... It's a double-edged sword. Clearly, it's a tragic for everyone that he was lost at a relatively young age. But I am sure that someone that has been as civic-minded as him and as intelligent as he has been in business and things has things set up that his impact on this city in particular will be felt here for generations to come,
yeah.
If I had to guess.
Yeah.
And I just really wanted to mention that he will be extremely missed. I've only lived in this town for 24, 25 years, and Junior Bridgman is a name that I learned early being here and have respected and was very, you know, it was a sad day when we heard that he had passed away, but Godspeed, Junior Bridgman, and we wish his family and friends and all the fans of Louisville and all the people that he has touched over his life all our best thoughts.
He was on so many, like I was watching the next day that he passed and just different sports shows, and every single one of them paused and did in memory of him. Like I'm watching the Players Championship on the Golf Channel. I'm watching the basketball games going on everywhere. It was just amazing to see how he stretched everything. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously being on all these boards and things, his opinion mattered.
Well, and you know, he was the owner of Valhalla this last
right.
time that the PGA Championship came in, and I watched an interview with him on the Golf Channel where he was talking
yeah.
about, you know, how he got involved with the game. And a quick side note also is in today's age and time, it is, you know, almost impossible to see something on social media if somebody passes. Well, I mean, really anything. If you say, I like white toast, somebody will have a reason to come on there and call you a jackass. But it was almost 1,000%.
I mean, we all hate white toast. But I mean, who in the hell likes that shit?
But it
Jim Nance.
Well, he would be the only one that doesn't.
That doesn't.
I thought it was very unique that pretty much every single thing I saw on social media that made mention of Junior Bridgman, every single comment was something positive. And a friend of mine that caddies out at Valhalla had told me, and this, I haven't talked to him since this happened, but he had told me on a couple of different occasions that of all the people that he knew out there and that he had caddied for, he was like, Junior Bridgman is one of the coolest dudes. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I just think that's neat. And, as I said, all our best thoughts to his friends and his fans, and he will be sorely missed here in town. Quickly, one other guy that I have to mention, one of my favorite sports reporters ever, John Feinstein, passed away last week. If you don't know who that is, he was the author of, in my opinion, the greatest sports book that's ever been written, A Season on the Brink, which he wrote at Indiana in 1986. embedded with the Indiana basketball team. If you are a basketball fan, college basketball fan, and you have never read A Season on the Brink, I implore you to read it. And if you are even not a basketball fan, but if you've lived in Bloomington at that time, it's such a time capsule. Like, it takes me back to Bloomington in 1986. It's like a time capsule book.
Right.
He was, and if you look at my bookshelf over there and my one upstairs and the one in the bedroom, I'm pretty sure you will find every book that he ever wrote.
The Rivalry is the one that stands out.
Yep.
Where he followed Army's football team and Navy's football team for an entire season.
I had told Colin when the news broke when we were in Vegas, and I told him that was one of the great sports books ever written.
Yeah, it really is.
A Good Walk Spoiled is a great I mean, and he wrote about golf, football, basketball.
Did the walk-ons.
Yep.
And
he was a very, could have been, he could be a very polarizing figure.
He wasn't scared of controversy. He wasn't scared to tell it like it was.
He had,
well, that's how you become famous, in my opinion.
He had very strong opinions about everything. People didn't always, like, I read a couple of obits that were written by, like, his editors when he was at the Washington Post, and they were like, might have been the biggest pain in my ass that ever worked for me, but also one of my favorite people. Like, he was so convicted. He wasn't phony. And he has a way of writing in a very, like, journalistic style that you really feel like you get to know these people when you read those books. And I will certainly be breaking out A Season on the Brink again in honor of him and reading it for probably, and I'm not kidding, I've probably read it from cover to cover at least 30 times. And that is literally not an exaggeration.
That's almost as many times I've seen The Goonies.
But you guys have anything to add here at the end of the show?
No. I'm ready for March Madness. I mean, we've all gotten screwed, and
yeah, I just feel so. I was already upset. First of all, I just want to say, like, it's 6 years since we've made the tournament.
So, right.
Like, today was the special moment that I had.
The celebration.
And it was going to be like this. And
it couldn't go bad, right? You're thinking,
it was the worst thing that happened
to Louisville. We've had a great season.
And just when I've kind of accepted the fact that, okay, we're going to play Creighton, and I'm talking myself into thinking that we can be competitive with Auburn, I find out we got the 12-15 tip on Thursday. Like, everything is just awful. Like, I don't even get to enjoy. You know, you enjoy the tournament watching games more, knowing that you're going to get to watch your team a little later.
Right.
We lose this first game. It's just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Forget it.
I don't know.
It is very, very, very frustrating. It's almost like the NCAA has it out for y'all.
Well, but still. I don't want that to be the last thing that people think about. I want to be positive. Louisville is not going to lose that
That's
first
right.
game. They're going to play on Saturday. We're going to have a hell of a weekend here.
Tuna, eat your best lunch. Something that you love. Like, make sure that you make it when you're watching this game.
No. Thursday.
Like, get your favorite pizza delivered.
This is how my Thursday's going to go. I'm going to wake up.
Salad, whatever.
At 5 a.m. I'm going to call the Ford Motor Company and tell them, guess who's not coming to work today? And then,
spoiler alert,
yep.
Ford Motor Company.
Yep. And then I'm going to hang up, and then I'm going to pace for a minute, probably go walk a little bit early in the morning.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to sit down and eat a big old biscuit and gravy meal.
There you go.
Them calories back,
yeah.
Get settled in, and then start listening to, like, radio all morning.
Yeah, listen to radio and get pumped up.
And just
up.
Get ready. And then I may take a road trip down to Lexington. And then watch this thing happen in person.
That would be unbelievable.
Dude, nice.
So, yeah.
Like, literally go to the game? Like,
yeah, to the game.
Dude, I think you should.
Yeah, I think I will. I mean,
it's going to be a hell of a game anyways.
Yeah.
And with it being 12 o'clock, why not?
Yeah. And, yeah.
Well, I hope that happens. I hope Louisville wins. I can't wait to break down these first couple rounds of the tournament, which we will do early next week. I want to thank the big fellow, the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one for being here. We will probably be back on either Monday or Tuesday of next week if I had to venture a guess right now. Shout out to Colin and Troy again for our great trip to Vegas. Had a great time. And
Troy?
Huh?
Did you say shout out to Troy?
Not that Troy.
Oh, okay.
The other Troy.
Oh.
Hey, we don't want to talk about Troy.
I just caught Troy. I didn't know. Like,
I mean, good
I didn't know
Lord.
If he went to Vegas with a guy that works on my truck or not.
Well, who was the team that beat us last year in the tournament, Kentucky? Oakland. I stomped on my shirt.
That was Oakland.
Oakland, good Lord almighty. Troy's getting stomped. So I'm sorry.
So we will we'll be back with you guys next week. Can't wait for that. For the big fellow, the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.